When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball!
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Buy new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host... LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vasay.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasay with you until 12:30 this morning as the Dodgers fall to the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-5 in 10 innings. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Great to see many of you Dodger fans still awake after a 4-hour and 33 game. 4 hours and 33-minute game. That was something. And it wasn't Dodgers-Giants. It was Dodgers-Diamondbacks. And a big reason why was because Tony Gonsolin couldn't find the strike zone in the first two innings. He only threw 55 pitches, and he only got 5 outs, and he walked 5 hitters. So that's a big reason that this game went 4 hours and 33 minutes, and it was well over 4 hours after the ninth inning. The Dodgers had to use 7 different relievers tonight because Gonsolin, for whatever reason, whether it's injury or ineffectiveness, left them in the lurch. And I'm curious to hear from Tony himself about how his shoulder is feeling, because you heard the question from Bill Plunkett to Dave Roberts. Now, let's hear the answer about Tony's right shoulder and whether or not that was the reason why he pitched so poorly tonight.
It has its days where, you know, it doesn't feel great, but for the most part, it feels good on game day.
Do you think that's maybe a factor in the problems that you're having?
I'm not going to take it out of the mix, but, you know, it's no excuse to not throw strikes.
Hey, I'm all good with players letting us know when they're hurting, because there's always a reason why a good pitcher like Tony Gonsolin doesn't pitch well, and frankly, hasn't pitched well outside of his last start. And I will say this, I'll tell you one observation I had in between 2 starts ago and his prior start to this. In between those 2 starts, I didn't see him throw in between starts, and that tells you that his shoulder was hurting. So I don't know what he did for the last 5 days or 6 days in between this start and the last one, but I could tell you before that, he did not throw on his bullpen day. And if he did, it was a handful of pitches. So you have to believe the right shoulder is still barking, and if it's still barking, this is something serious that the Dodgers have to consider in not allowing him to make his next start. Max Scherzer, by the way, cannot start every game, just in case you were wondering. Him and Buehler and Julio cannot start every game for the Dodgers the rest of the way. So they are going to need contributions from other starting pitchers during the regular season. And, you know, this is an interesting situation now with Tony Gonsolin. You felt like the Dodgers were getting their 5-man rotation set, and Tony was going to be the 6th man because David Price has pitched so well, and we'll see what goes on with Clayton Kershaw in the coming days, whether or not he does pitch his simulated game on Sunday. So we'll find that out, but hopefully Kershaw can be back on the mound, as Dave Roberts said, a week from Saturday night, which is coming up in just a few hours. So that's where the Dodger rotation stands. And as far as the Dodger bullpen, seven relievers tonight. I mentioned it in the clubhouse, and it deserves repeating. Phil Bickford. He has been an incredible sign by the Dodgers in the middle of the season. You don't usually find these type of guys in the middle of the season, especially early on. But the Dodgers took a flyer on him, and he definitely has rewarded their faith and especially Dave Roberts' trust, because little by little, he started getting higher and higher leverage situations. And I remember a Sunday afternoon at Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers were trailing and they needed a pitcher to come in and put out a bases loaded fire and keep the game where it was. Bickford did that, and he also came back for a second inning. And from that day forward, early on this summer, Dave Roberts has had a lot of trust in him, and rightfully so. Thanks to our guy, Rick Krajewski at Sportsnet LA, he told us that Phil Bickford has inherited 18 runners this season. Only one has scored. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Dodgers fall 6-5 in 10 innings tonight. If you have any questions or comments about the trades the Dodgers made and made official today, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner are coming to the Dodgers for Josiah Gray, Keibert Ruiz, and two AA players. And I told you all week that the conversation started and ended with Keibert Ruiz as it concerned the Nationals and trading Max Scherzer to the Dodgers. They made it happen. They expanded the deal to bring in one of the best players in all of baseball in Trey Turner. Look at his offensive numbers. He's top 10 in almost every offensive category. He has the second highest batting average in the National League. But the only question now is, how do they get Trey Turner to buy into his new role? Because the Dodgers have Corey Seager at shortstop for the rest of the year. So Trey Turner is going to have to accept playing second base and maybe even some outfield, because Seager is locked in until the end of the year. And how does Seager feel about this? He's a free agent at the end of the year. I know he is growing to want to stay in Los Angeles more and more, and has since the beginning of the year. So how does he feel about this? That is part of the human element of baseball, not just collecting players. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this works out. But one thing's for certain, Max Scherzer will make his Dodger debut on Wednesday night at Dodger Stadium against the Houston Astros. 866-987-2570. We'll hear from Ned Coletti coming up at 1220. But first, let's go out to West LA. Steve, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Dave. How are you, man? Rough night. Couple real quick things. I love the Scherzer Turner trade. Just love it. I don't know how you make that trade and you don't get bullpen help. I just don't know how they don't get bullpen help. I don't get it. I don't love the Dodgers pen this year. I know Craig Kimbrell went for Madrigal. I'm pretty sure the Cubs wanted Gavin Lux, and I'm pretty sure the Dodgers said no, but that's just speculation.
No, you're not sure about any of that. No, Nick Madrigal's a way better player than Gavin Lux, so no, that's not a good comparison.
You think so? Gavin Lux?
I know so. Look. I know so, Steve.
Okay. The game today, you know, everybody's talking about Gonsolin, and yeah, he was god-awful. It looked like there was something wrong with him. But, you know, the one play that no one's talking about, and I still can't believe it, is the Dodgers had runners on first and second, Will Smith at second base. He's not terribly slow for a catcher. Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger hits a fly ball foul. David Peralta makes a pretty good play running into the wall, crashes over the wall. Smith is still at second base. McKinney's still at first. How do you not tag up? That would have won the game, Dave. That is apathetic baseball.
That's fair, but I was more focused on the poor at-bat quality by Cody. I wasn't really focused on that, quite honestly. At this point, Steve, that's the bigger concern rather than those guys not tagging up. And thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Like I said yesterday, rip the name off the back of the jersey of both Cody Bellinger and Billy McKinney right now. Billy McKinney right now is having better quality at-bats than Cody Bellinger is. And that's a little concerning. And I was the first that scoffed at this guy, Billy McKinney. But here he is, and having better at-bats than Cody Bellinger. Just rip the names off the back of the jersey, and you tell me who's having better at-bats right now. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Kenny in Fullerton. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, David. Just to kind of double down on the issues Bellinger's having, first off, is he healthy? Is his shoulder healthy? I mean, he's late on mid-90s fastballs right down the plate, and it's kind of frustrating how he's not starting to swing earlier. And if these struggles continue, do you see him not playing every day down the stretch and maybe in the playoffs, you know, with Turner coming back, Mookie coming back healthy? Personally, I would rather have, you know, Turner or TT3 in center and then play A.J. Pollock every day in left.
That's tough, Kenny, because Cody's so good defensively in center field. He makes such a big difference. He made a great catch on the run today that not too many center fielders can get to. So that's the dilemma right there. And, you know, as far as his shoulder goes, I asked him repeatedly on numerous occasions in spring training how it was feeling. And he assured me that it wouldn't affect his swing. But I was around Adrian Gonzalez after the shoulder surgery to his front shoulder, his right shoulder, like Cody. Hanley Ramirez had a similar surgery to his left shoulder, his front shoulder. And they told me that they weren't the same player for at least a year. So I think everybody should keep in mind that this Cody Bellinger is not the healthy Cody Bellinger and hasn't played all season long. But he's only hitting .235 since August, so you can only take that so far as the approach, the swings, and just the at-bat quality so far, Kenny. At the very least, you could have better at-bats. All right, thanks for the phone call. Let's stay in Fullerton. Wow, this is a big Fullerton day. The Dodgers claimed Chad Wallach off of waivers, and now back-to-back calls from Fullerton fans. Ralph, you're on Dodger Talk. How you doing, Ralph?
It's actually Fontana, Dave. But I called you a couple of weeks ago about Bellinger.
Did you say you're from Fontana, not Fullerton?
Yeah, Fontana.
I'm sorry.
And it's okay. I called you a couple of weeks about Bellinger, and he was hitting 180 back then. And I asked you and why he plays every single day. He doesn't deserve it, Dave. We can have McKinstry in there better. We can somehow, you know, have
McKinstry
playing a little more.
He's hitting .150 in July.
Exactly. He does not deserve to play.
No, I'm saying McKinstry's hitting .150 in July. He's not doing much better these days.
Well, he's probably hitting better than Bellinger. Bellinger's probably hitting less than 100 in July. But
fair
question
point.
I have for you, Dave.
Can't argue with that.
What are you going to do, Dave, what should Roberts do when Betts and Turner come back? How are you going to justify Bellinger to play above Chris Taylor or any of those guys?
I could see Cody Bellinger becoming a platoon player. I could see Cody sitting against lefties quite often, Ralph. And I think that's the direction we're headed with Trey Turner coming into the fold.
Yes, because you know, Dave, that he's, since August of 2019, you were saying he was hitting like .235 since then. It's probably down to .220 by now.
Yeah, I haven't updated the numbers. I didn't want it to get any lower, Ralph. I can't look. I like Cody, so I'm going to keep it at .235.
Okay, Dave. I just hope they don't start platooning Chris Taylor, man. He deserves to play every single day.
No, Chris Taylor cannot sit. I mean, Trey Turner is a great player. They just have to find a way to get both those guys in the lineup. And I know Mookie Betts is coming back to play on Sunday, but let's see how healthy his right hip is. And I feel like that's part of Trey Turner. He's insurance just in case Mookie Betts does not come back healthy for whatever reason. And Trey Turner can play the outfield, or Chris Taylor can play the outfield while Turner plays second base. But like I said, the Dodgers, Trey Turner, there is something, and we'll ask Ned Colletti about this. There is something about shortstops, center fielders, and catchers, and especially high-level players that play those positions, They are very stubborn about moving off those positions. And those are important positions on the field, up the middle. And they take a lot of pride in playing it well and having that badge of honor that you're the shortstop, you're the center fielder. Remember when Matt Kemp, it was becoming apparent that he had lost a step? He did not move to right field willingly. The Dodgers had to convince him, and he was the last one to realize it. So the Dodgers are going to have to get Trey Turner to buy into this role for the rest of the season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Dodgers fall in 10 innings to the Diamondbacks, 6-5. Let's go out to former Dodger GM and Sportsnet LA analyst Ned Coletti. Ned, thanks a lot for staying late with us.
Yes, sir.
Ned, I was just talking about this, and maybe you have the answer because you have had experience in this department. For whatever reason, and I understand it, center fielders, shortstops, and catchers, they are very stubborn to move off those positions. I was bringing up the example of when Matt Kemp lost a step in center field and you asked him to move to right. It wasn't something that he really wanted to do. How do the Dodgers convince Trey Turner to buy into a role that may not be playing shortstop for the rest of the season?
Well, you've got 2 months to go in the regular season and another month to go in the postseason. And so it's a short period of time. Nobody knows what the future holds. And Trey Turner, if you're going to pay him as a shortstop, then, you know, does it matter if he's playing second base? If that's how it goes at the end of the season, if Corey can stay? I think also, and I was talking to Nomar tonight about this, you know, when you look at how many shifts there are in baseball, how many times is you find a shortstop like playing a traditional shortstop? Is it? I mean, it's a percentage of time. It's not 100% of the time. So it's kind of an interesting observation from Nomar that, you know, you're not really, it's not the old-fashioned shortstop that's playing in the same position within about 5 or 10 feet of a center point. It's different. But I think at this point in time, you've got to have a World Series on your mind to get to your first part of this question. You got to have a World Series on your mind and figure out, hey, how can I help this team get to the Fall Classic and win it? And wherever I play, I play.
And that's another interesting question, because Trey Turner and Max Scherzer beat the Dodgers to get to the World Series and get their ring. You have to wonder how hungry and how much winning is at the forefront for these guys.
Well, I don't have any question about that. I think that, you know, Max Scherzer had really the pick of probably a handful of teams to go to. He didn't pick L.A. because of the weather, because the weather's pretty good in the other spots too. So it's about winning. And Trey Turner, you watch how he plays. He's a hungry player. He's a baseball player. And I don't think there's any question about that. Danny Duffy, too. He's got a World Series championship from 2015. These guys are quality. And I think that coming to a team that's got a chance to win and win more than one ring, I think that that is on everybody's mind. We've talked about that all season long with the current Dodgers. And, you know, there doesn't seem any lack of hunger from that group.
Ned Coletti joins us from the Sportsnet LA studios. And speaking of hunger, there has been a few lapses in focus this season, Ned. There's no doubt about it. There's a reason why the Dodgers have allowed more unearned runs than any other team in baseball. They have good enough players, but the focus hasn't been there as consistently as it has been in years past. Getting Scherzer, getting Trey Turner, and Danny Duffy, does it raise the level of focus and energize a clubhouse?
Well, it certainly tells everybody where ownership is at and where Andrew Friedman and his crew is at. You don't go out and get those three players and give up the players you gave up. Everybody wants to hang on to their prospects. Dodgers did not have a chance to really do that. They moved two of their best. I think it's a tremendous message to everybody exactly what the expectations are. Not that it wasn't loud and clear 48 hours ago. It's been loud and clear for a long time. And I think this just underscores it and tells everybody, hey, look, you know, we're all in. We're not trying to compete. We're not trying to get to the postseason. We're trying to win the World Series. And you hear a few teams say that, but you rarely have a team that is built like this team is built and then goes out and gets the three players that they acquired. That message is, there's no way to misinterpret that message.
All right, final question about fitting in Trey Turner, and it's a good problem to have, obviously. He's one of the best players in baseball. How does this affect Cody Bellinger with the way he's swinging, and considering Chris Taylor has been one of the better players, team MVPs all season long? How does this affect Cody?
Well, I think that when you're at this stage, you do have, depending on how the next few weeks go, you may grab a lead, you may increase a lead. You get to that point. You get to a point where you're leading in the division. You can continue to give Cody at-bats and continue to try and work his way through this. But at some point in time, the best guy's got to play. This isn't a practice round. This isn't a try-hard league. This is the big leagues. And so it's going to come down to who is the most productive. Some matchup will be involved depending on who's starting and things like that. But really, you've got Pollock, too. Both Pollock and CT3 have been ultra-productive, especially Pollock in the month of July. So, you know, at this stage of a career, at this stage of what you do for a living, it's competitive. And you're going to have to earn your way to it. And the more good players you get, the more the competition increases. And there's no hard feelings. It's just, hey, who's ever playing best, let's go. Let's move it out there and let's get a win.
Ned, do you see Cody Bellinger moving in from the outfield back to first base for the majority of the time we see him in the lineup and Taylor being in center field?
I think it's a possibility, although Cody is an excellent, excellent center fielder. I think there's a lot of different choices. We've seen Dave Robertson. I think it's one of his strengths is really giving people a chance to succeed and giving them time and keeping guys fresh. I think you're going to see Cody both in center and at first, and you're going to see Chris Taylor a little bit at second, a little bit in center, a little bit in left, maybe a touch short once in a while. I think there's all sorts of combinations you're going to see.
All right, Ned, thanks a lot for the time, and thanks for staying up late with us. We'll check in with you a little bit later tonight.
Okay, Dave. Have a good one. See you, pal.
All right. There he goes, Ned Colletti, Sportsnet LA analyst. And he's right. The Dodgers all along under Andrew Friedman have been resistant and reluctant to put a label on a player, especially a guy like Cody Bellinger. Remember, before Cody played outfield or center field, everybody said, oh, he's a gold glove first baseman, me included. And he goes out to center field, and now you don't want him to leave center field. But it seems like the Dodgers are going to balance Cody between center and first base, Taylor from the infield back to the outfield, and having those two guys being versatile to play those positions, you can give Trey Turner second base and just say, focus on this. We're not trying to bounce you around all over the place. You're our second baseman. Taylor and Bellinger will be the guys that bounce around because they can do it and have done it before. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Alfonso in L.A. Thanks for being patient, Alfonso.
Hi, good morning, Dave. It was a good game. But towards the end, you know, everything was good. The runs, I think the team was still in it, and the bullpen gave the guys a chance, you know, and good stuff by Kenley Jansen. But the problem is the whole second run thing. I don't think the Dodgers don't like that at all. And
yeah,
you know, it shows. So I am excited for the new acquisitions, you know, like the whole with the Trey Turner coming in. And it's actually a good problem for the Dodgers. And I'm excited. I mean, it's game one of three games, and I really feel like the Dodgers will pick up the next two games. But do you know if the Dodgers had a meeting about this stuff, like, you know, them losing
the
these games that they should be winning?
No,
yeah,
there's
I'm
been
sorry,
no
yeah,
play-
the players.
They yeah. don't really have these type of meetings that you used to hear of, Alfonso, and thanks for the phone call. Their meetings are before each and every series in the hitting cage, the batting cage, for hitters meetings. That's where they do most of their talking, and if anybody has anything to say, that's usually where it's done. All right, let's go out to Paolo in San Diego, holding on for almost an hour. That's almost as long as the game was tonight, Paolo. How you doing?
Hi, David. And listen, do you know the specifics in regards to the trade for Max and Trey Turner? Because it looks as if it was a done deal for Max, you know, to go to the Padres. But also, I'm guessing that because of the Julio Urias, you know, the pitch count that they're trying to, does it mean that we could see, like, Duffy, the new acquired pitcher from the Royals, and David Price and Julio in a more relief capacity? Because the way that the bullpen is set up right now, listen, I'm not very confident with all these guys, with Nunez, Uceta, Nelson, and Garcia, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you, Paolo, but I don't think it's changing that much until October, especially in Julio's case. And thanks for the phone call. As far as Danny Duffy's role, we'll see how healthy he is. By the time he starts pitching for the Dodgers again, he would not have pitched more than four innings in over 6 to 8 weeks. So I would imagine that he would be used as an opener or a middle reliever, and that would play into giving Julio extra rest. And the way the Dodgers plan on giving Julio extra rest is by not putting him in the bullpen until October, if necessary, but by skipping starts or giving him extra days rest. That's how they plan on doing it. And as far as the report, if you were listening yesterday and watching my tweets, which I know not everybody's on Twitter, but I was putting out tweets there that were letting people know that that was a bad report, one of the few from some of these national baseball writers. And Andrew Friedman said earlier today that when he saw that tweet, he got spooked for a second, because on Thursday morning, he felt like he and the Nationals had a deal in place, and by 2 o'clock really had a deal in place. So that was just an erroneous report. Don't know where they got it from, but it wasn't accurate, as we found out. And yesterday, Nick Coletti and I both predicted Max would be in a Dodger uniform, and sometimes you have to just let the game come to you. How about that? All right, tomorrow we have a Dodger starter. It will be Mitchell White on the mound for the Dodgers, starting a bullpen game, going up against Merrill Kelly, who is 7-7 with an ERA of 4.39. Morongo Casino, Dodgers on Deck begins at 4 o'clock with first pitch at 5:10. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out at Dodger Stadium. And before we say goodnight, how could I forget to congratulate Chris Enklob of Henderson, Nevada. He wins a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win that gift card, go to over 100 Daniel's locations. Go to am570lasports.com, keyword home run. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Once again, the final score tonight in Arizona at Chase Field. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 6-5 in 10 innings. Have a great night. See ya.
Put down the top, crank up the beats, boys, baby. Don't let the music stop. We go ride it till we just can't ride.